want to talk to you today about something that I prepared this message before I left and obviously went through it as soon as I got back because it had been 7 weeks since I looked at it. But as I was reading through the message and checking through the PowerPoint, I realized how far I still have to go. You think you're doing well, and then suddenly you realize you're not doing as well as you thought you were doing. Yeah, you're on a journey, you're in progress, but who knows that in stressful situations, the real you comes out? We all get that, don't we? We understand who? Can we put the first slide up? Thanks, Sarah. Everyone has heard the term IQ. We all kind of, at one point in our life, who's ever done one of those surveys or tests to find out your IQ? Anyone? We've all done it, haven't we? Really, at one point or another. And as we know, your IQ is, the term means your intelligent quotient, the amount of intelligence that you have. So the IQ stands for intelligence quotient. And we all have one, and everyone wants a big one. There's a group called Mensa. Who's heard of Mensa? Yeah, in the 70s, they were really quite well known. And I did some of their tests. It was an association founded in 1946 in the UK. And it's now worldwide. And it was brought together to bring what they considered the greatest minds in the world together. And its purpose is this, and I've checked this. It says, to identify and foster human intelligence for the benefit of humanity. Now that seems very noble, and I'm sure they have helped, and you know they've done some great things, and they state that they also provide a stimulating intellectual and social environment for its members, but it's a very exclusive club. In 1964, the Australian chapter of Mensa began. And today in Australia, there's about 2,500 members, and a third of those are under 18 years of age. So how do you become a member? You have to have a score on a standardized IQ test higher than 98% of the general population. So your score has to be higher than 98% of the general population. And I thought about that, and I thought, what happens if the population gets larger and smarter? Do you get knocked off the list? You're out of the club. You only made 97.9%. And a high IQ is often a source of pride. It's seen as a bit of a status symbol by some. You know, I'm smarter than you. Well, what's your IQ? Who said that? You know, like, well, my IQ is so... And you see pride in people because they consider themselves smarter than you because of their level of IQ. And according to psychology, there are actually four types of intelligence, not just the intelligence quotient, not just the IQ, but there's four types. There's Mensa, there's average, and there's dumb and dumber. Not true. It's not true. The first one, if we can see the next slide, is the IQ, the intelligence quotient, this thing that we all want a big one of and this thing that we kind of have a lot of pride in. You know, I have a high IQ. It's the measure of your level of comprehension, if you like. You need IQ to solve maths. You need IQ to memorize things, to recall your lessons, and to process information. You know, Mensa does all these kind of very strange puzzles. The second type of intelligence is your EQ, your emotional quotient, or you like your emotional intelligence. It's the measure of your ability to maintain peace with others, to keep to punctuality and time, to be responsible, to be honest, to respect boundaries, to be humble, to be genuine, and to be considerate. Now, I studied psychology over a period of 2 years, and most of it's pretty much bunkum. But there are some points in there, like these kinds of things, that people have brought out that I think are important. It's not just your intelligence quotient, there is an emotional quotient upon which we are measured. The third one is your SQ, or your social quotient. This is the measure of your ability to build a network of friends and to maintain it. This is about engagement with others. And so they're saying that there is this third method of intelligence, of how good are you at making friends and maintaining relationships. And the fourth one is the AQ, which is your adversity quotient. That is the measure of your ability to go through a rough patch in life and come through it without losing your mind. And we hear a lot about IQ, but we don't hear a lot about the others. It seems that our world is geared to gauging people by their IQ, but not their SQ, their EQ, or their AQ. And as I said before, most people see their IQ as a status symbol. I'm smarter than you are. None of us wants to be below average. And for that reason, some people feel shame because their IQ isn't as high as somebody else's. I like the idea of Mensa's purpose, and that's for betterment. If you have a high IQ, use it to make a better world. Much more important than just saying, I'm smarter than you. And we highly value the idea of great minds. You know, men like Elon Musk and Bill Gates and Steve Jobs, and in history, of course, men like Isaac Newton and Galileo Galilei, and these kind of intelligent men, these great thinkers who have done good in the world. I wouldn't say that Musk and Gates and Jobs have done everything good, but they've done some good. But there have been some great thinkers in history and in our world who've done terrible things too. Interestingly, according to research, people with a higher EQ, a higher emotional quotient, and SQ, which is your social quotient, tend to go further in life than those who have a high IQ but a low EQ and SQ. Someone of a high IQ will often end up being employed by someone who has a high EQ and SQ. Fascinating. Next slide, thanks, Sarah. IQ determines 20 to 25% of business success. EQ determines 75 to 80% of business success. And these are statistics that have been around for a while. But for some reason, our society places greater emphasis on one and not the others. Most educational institutions capitalize on improving your IQ, but tend to ignore your EQ, SQ, and AQ. I'm not saying all, but some, most. In fact, I was thrilled when we got back to hear from Luke and Siobhan about the school that the two girls are going to. They're interested in EQ and SQ as much as they're interested in IQ. I think that's wonderful. They see in kids the ability to socialize and to care for others and to be responsible. Let's look at AQ for a second. When faced with troubles, your AQ, your adversity quotient, determines who is going to give up, who's going to abandon family or friends, who's going to consider suicide or self-harm, and who's going to isolate themselves from others. And this has ramifications for those who don't handle trouble or failure well. You can have the highest IQ, but if you don't have a high AQ and something happens in your life that is troublesome, difficult, even, you know, incredibly bad, if you don't handle that well, your IQ is useless to you. You need a high adversity quotient as much as you need a high IQ. So why does our world value IQ so highly? We need to expose our children to these other areas of life, not just academics. We need to develop their EQ, their SQ, and their AQ as well. Academia is not the be-all and end-all. Who you are as a human is much more important than your IQ. Do I hear at least a couple of amens? Who you are as a human is much more important than your intelligence quotient. Because you're always going to find someone smarter than you. We should nurture a love of service and work and play and socializing and teamwork and the arts. Being smart won't cut it without those things. Work should never be a punishment for your kids. Manual labor and serving gives value to self and others. I'm disgusted in the way people treat servers. We saw a few people while we were overseas, people on the cruise ship, people in the US, and even sadly some people in Mexico. We stayed in this fantastic resort, and you are served brilliantly by these people. They are amazing. You girls would clarify that. Amazing. They will do anything for you. They smile, they're wonderful, they're fantastic. And all of those And what was happening was we were seeing some of the rich Mexicans treating the poor Mexicans of the local villages and the local towns really poorly. They were treating them so badly because they're not as good as they are because they're rich. I hear people at airports being rude to the stewards and the staff trying to get a seat on a plane. America's got this damn system of how you get on a plane, I'm telling you. Some of you might have traveled there, might understand what I'm talking about. But people being rude because they're just servers. They're here to serve me. And so even people with high IQ, if you don't know how to treat people, it's of no value. Serving others gives value to ourselves and to others. How we serve others, as Jesus taught us. I mean, if people like Nick and James didn't do what they do, there's going to be people, more people in great distress in our society. If people like Siobhan didn't work, then a generation of littlies wouldn't be learning skills of social and emotional skills. If people like Sharon or Lynn didn't work, then our aged population would be living at home, unable to properly care for themselves. Serving others has value. Next time you go to work, work out. You know what? I'm helping people. No matter how much you hate your job, you're helping people, ultimately. If nurses and firemen and therapists and retail workers, warehouse employers, farmers and pump sellers didn't work, where would we be then?
Underwater.
Let me just say this. Don't just give chores to your kids. Don't just tell them they must do them. Give them a sense of purpose, a sense of community, a sense of family as they serve with you together. Explain the greater why, not just the what. Because what you're doing is you're dealing with their emotional and their social and their adversity quotient while you do that. Share in meaningful work and mutual support. The only way to be God-honoring and a multifaceted human being is to focus on the whole of life. And don't get me started on electronic devices. A little games play and recreational streaming can help with relaxation and even imagination, but too much of it will crush your EQ, your SQ, and your AQ. Saw too much of it. Kids screaming for devices in airports, not getting their way, kicking and screaming, making a nuisance of themselves. Some of the kids on the plane, I just wanted to open the window and push them out, I'm telling you. But we were in the last airport in LAX before, well, not the last, but the last in America before we flew home. And there was this little girl, I don't know if you noticed her, this little girl with her mum and dad. And she was living this imaginary game. She had no devices. And you could see that she was having this imaginary thing in her, and she was beautiful to watch. She was creative. And then she sat with her dad and asked her dad to do some colouring in with her. I mean, they didn't give her a device, they gave her colouring in. Who'd have thought that you can give a child colouring in and not just a device? As I say, I don't have a problem with phones and electronic devices and games, but don't make it your be-all and end-all, because you're going to have an EQ, an SQ, and an AQ that's just not real. So scientifically and psychologically, your EQ represents your character. Your SQ represents, if you like, your charisma, your ability to relate to others. And your AQ represents your resilience. And Jesus showed us the value of the whole person. Did he ever talk about IQ? No, he talked about wisdom. And the Word of God says that knowledge puffs up. Jesus never judged anyone on their IQ, ever. He never talked about how smart people are. He talked about how wise they should be. Physical healing was only a part of what he did. He gave value to work. He was a carpenter. He valued women. The women were the first at the tomb. He sat with a Samaritan woman and ministered to her. He valued children. He valued the dispossessed. He valued the broken. He valued friendships and loyalty. And on it goes. I don't recall Jesus ever saying, "Blessed are those with a high IQ." He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure of heart, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. The teachings of Jesus were simple but unique, and they cut across our values in this modern world, just as they did in the Jewish and Roman world of his day. God showed me some things while I slept last night, and I don't know if I should share it now or later, about how God does not change. I might share it later. Jesus did say we need knowledge. No two ways about it. He said you need knowledge. But what was he talking about? Does it fit the ethos of Mensa? In Matthew 13, he talks about the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom. Solomon asked God for wisdom and knowledge. Why? So that he could lead God's people well. There was a reason he wanted wisdom and knowledge. He wrote the Proverbs to highlight what was important in life. Next slide, thanks. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. And then he says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Not your IQ. Not your IQ. In Psalm 119, there's a lot of talk about God's laws and precepts and commands and his ways. And in verse 66 and 67, it says this. Thanks, Shira. Teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I trust your commands. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. Maybe we need a Bible quotient. How much Bible we know. Frankly, our IQ doesn't mean a thing to God. Come on, it doesn't. God doesn't care if you have an IQ of 120 or an IQ of 10. That has no value to him. What God values is the stewardship of what you have. Thank you. Whether it be a widow's mite or a rich man's gold, whether you have 2 talents or 10, whether it's a high IQ or a low IQ, he will ask you, what did you do what I gave you? That's going to be the question. Not how much you had. He doesn't care about how much you've got. He cares about what you do with what you've got. That's what God values. In Acts chapter 18, verse 24 onwards, it says, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. Sounds good so far. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Doesn't matter what you know, you can always learn something else. More accurately. Oh, does it? It does, you're right, adequately. Thank you for correcting me. I'm used to it. In the book of Romans, there's this telling piece of scripture where the writer speaks about those who suppress the truth about God. He outlines God's wrath against sinful humanity. And then he adds this in Romans 1:28. Thanks, Sarah. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. You see, you can be as smart as you like, but if you don't involve God in your thinking and in your life, he'll hand you over to a depraved mind. So if you think you're smart, don't think you're smart. I'm talking to the world. Anyone who's listening to this podcast, your God quotient, your Bible quotient, your spiritual quotient is so much more important than those things. The knowledge of God and his word and his ways should be the number one thing in your life above all things. Not to say those other things can't happen and they're not important, they are. But God desires that we would have the knowledge of him. The only knowledge Paul addresses throughout all of his letters has nothing to do with IQ. You see, I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how much you know about this or that. And sure, it's interesting and used correctly. It has benefit. You know, I love hearing intelligent people speak and what they have to learn. But I need to value what God values. Your knowledge of God's word and ways is what he values. Thank you. It's like talking to treacle. God values your EQ, your emotional quotient. I don't care how much you know. I care about how much you care. God values your SQ, your social quotient. I care about the measure of your ability to maintain peace with one another, to keep to punctuality and time, to be responsible, to be honest, to respect boundaries, to be humble, genuine, and considerate. God values those things. God values your adversity quotient, your AQ, the measure of your ability to get through a rough patch and come out the other side without losing your mind and your faith. See, we take it a bit further when we read it through the eyes of God. Resilience, it's missing in our world. People give up way too easy. They give up on their kids, they give up on their marriages, they give up on their jobs because it was a little bit tougher, I didn't like it. Guess what? We all don't like our jobs. Your adversity quotient really is important, people. Because Jesus and God, when you read the Word of God, Jesus went through great adversity. And when you read of men of Joseph, like Joseph and Moses, and Abraham, and all those great men and women of faith, they had a high adversity quotient, I can tell you. How would you go if you were in prison for 2 years and you did nothing wrong? You see, your adversity quotient, your resilience, will determine whether you give up on life and you give up on God. When your house gets hit by lightning, when your car breaks down, when your marriage breaks up, can't let go of faith. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We know that we all possess knowledge, but knowledge puffs up while love builds up. Those who think they know something do not yet know as they ought to know, but whoever loves God is known by God. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul explains the source of true knowledge. Do you want to hear it? Do you want to hear the source of true knowledge? Verse 4, 1 Corinthians 12. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of working. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. If you're at the back of the line in the IQ department, God has determined that. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me why he's made some people smarter than others. But it's what you do with what he's given you that makes the difference. So much more important. And at the end of chapter 12, I love what Paul says. He says, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. Who'd like to know what the most excellent way is? You know what it is, don't you? Paul says, I'm going to show you the most excellent way, the most important thing, the best thing that you can do in this world and in this life. In 1 Corinthians 13, he then goes on to explain it. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Who knows people like that? Just make noise. White noise, white noise. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and I give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Can you see where we're going? Do I need to finish? To the Ephesians, he talked about reaching unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. To become mature, attaining to the fullness of the measure of Christ. To live a life worthy of the Lord. To put on the new self, being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. This is the knowledge that God wants us to have. And then one of my favorite passages that I keep quoting time and time again, and you must be sick of it by now, written by Peter but inspired by the Holy Spirit, in 2 Peter chapter 1, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge. What sort of knowledge? Knowledge of God, the fullness of the measure of Jesus Christ. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. And to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't get stuck on knowledge, it puffs up. God has made you a rounded human being. He's given you an intelligence quotient, but he's also given you the ability to socialize with others, to deal with your emotions, and to deal with any adversity that comes your way. Grow, church. Let's develop into the well-rounded disciples that God wants us to be. Finally, there's this. If I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but don't have love, I'm nothing. Might I suggest that we work on our Bible quotient? May I suggest that we work on our spiritual quotient? And may I suggest that we still work on our love quotient? Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love fixes everything. Even if you've been hard done by, you've been hurt, you've been badly dealt a hand with somebody, you love, you win. You love, you win. The Bible says it very clearly. So I'm not going to do an IQ test this morning with you all. Some went, oh, bummer. And others went, oh, praise God. But I will ask this. Make sure that you're a well-rounded disciple as Jesus has meant us to be. I'm going to open up now and spill my guts. Not drop my guts, I said spill my guts. There's a difference. While we were traveling, and some of you will understand this, there are some nice people in the world, there are some stupid people in the world, and there's some really rude people in the world. And I found myself reacting to them. And when I came back and read this message, I went, you idiot. Because at times, my social quotient wasn't that good. I don't consider myself a stupid man, but I'm not super intelligent. Dan's nodding. I think you nodded at the first bit, didn't you? Yeah, thank you. But I found myself with people who just had no clue about how to deal with life and deal with others. And instead of me going, doesn't matter, my social quotient has to be this and my emotional quotient has to be that and my adversity quotient has to be that, what did I do? There were a couple of times I got riled up and I spoke my mind. I wasn't rude, but I kind of called it out. You serious? You're doing that? Chris said, it's not your circus. It's not your monkeys. I said, but they might be my clowns. But let me say to you people, none of us have got it together yet. And I really don't care how smart you are. There are people that come to our church that wouldn't be accepted in other churches, and that's a fact. Come on. They wouldn't feel welcome. There would be this attitude of welcome, but they wouldn't genuinely be there. This church, I love you all because of how much you love one another. But what you have is not important. What you do with what you have is the most important thing in Grow Church. So like me, if you find at times the person who's walking slow in front of you in colonnades and they're four abreast and you want to go in the back of their head, don't do that. I've never done it. I've wanted to. But I know that part of my problem is I'm impatient. And I put my standards on other people, and I should never do that. I should never do that. Yeah, but I wouldn't do that. Chris says, but that you're not them. Yeah, but I wouldn't do that. But they're them. So I need to just go, yeah. You guys know what I'm talking about, don't you? But hey, we're human. But God wants us to be holy. We're not going to play because my fingers really hurt after 7 weeks of not playing. But we're going to pray. Can we do that? Father, we just thank you that you've made us the way we are. That, Lord, you know, how can the pot say to the maker, the pot, what do they call him? Potter. How can the pot say? See, my intelligent quotient's really low today. Yeah, the clay maker person, water, he does the thing with the pots and things. Lord, we thank you that your word says that the pot cannot say to the potter, you've made me wrong. That, Lord, you've made each of us the way that we are for some reason or another, but that, Lord, we don't just go, well, that's the way I am, that we go, I want to be the way God wants me to be. Maybe, Lord, you put us in that place to teach us to be like that. Maybe, Lord, I have this impatience in my life and this ability where I keep trying to put my values on it. Maybe you've given me that because I have to work through that. It'll make me a better person and a better follower. So, Lord, this morning as we understand that we all have failings and we look at them, and let's not get crushed by them, but let's be inspired by them to have a higher spiritual quotient and a higher biblical quotient, and, Lord, a high love quotient, that we would know how to love others, as difficult as that can be. So, Lord, as we go into our week, help us with all those things that we need to learn and to know. Help us to be good stewards of what you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I hope you got something out of that. Because I tell you what, when I preach, I'm usually 1 week ahead of you. God's talking to me, and then he says, let them know how you are. Let them see how bad you are. Praise God. Have a great week, everybody. It's good to be back.